White Aryan Resistance calling. White Aryan Resistance calling. This is the White Aryan Resistance Radio Network. Your host for today's show is Tom Metzger, Terrible Tommy. So get a spot of tea, sit down and relax, because it's time for another show on the White Aryan Resistance Radio Network.
What's that?
Oh yes, that's me. Terrible Tommy right here in the bunker again on the 23rd of December 2014. We're coming up on, we just passed our best day, the rebirth of the sun. But we are going into a Christian robbed sun holiday coming up. Christmas. It's all about Northern European legends and so forth. In fact, I think I told you before, the whole mythology of the sun, worship of the sun, which we don't do. We revere the sun, but we don't worship the sun, or I don't. That when the sun appears to be in the lowest area of the south, in other words, the earth tilted back as far as it's going to go, and that's the coldest time of the year. Well, the ancients had mythology that the sun died at that time, and then it went through a cave that went through the earth, and it was reborn at the mouth of the cave on the other side. Pretty wild, huh? Well, remember the story of Jesus? They say he was born in a manger in a, you know, barn or something. No, the legend really is he was born in a cave. So guess what? Yes, that was supposed to be the sun, S-U-N, not the S-O-N. And if you don't believe me, there's a whole lot of information up there on therewasnojesus.com. And we're still at Box 401, Warsaw, Indiana, 46581. And we're right here next to the Terrible Tommy's Terrible Tavern and Steakhouse and Filling Station, where we still sell that gas, ethyl, and regular. Not any of this other stuff. Yeah. We put all that, you know, it's down to gas in town here. It was down to $2.10. I think it might break the $2 mark in another few days. There's something really big going on in oil, and it's funny because they're trying to sell off these oil wells to private people. You got to have $1 million to get into the game. I wouldn't touch an oil well right now. Well, if they gave it to me, I would. But I would not invest in an oil well right now because you don't know what's going on. I don't. Well, anyhow, let's see here. I ran into an interesting piece of information yesterday that the ISIS, who are going big time, in which they're saying makes the Al-Qaeda look like nothing, they're only 1% of the population. All you people keep talking about, oh, we got to have more people, more people, more people. Well, if we can't get 1% within the next 10, 15 years, we better wrap it up. Because you're going to need that just to fight off ISIS if they get over here in this country. Sure, a hell of a lot of Americans going over there, and British and French and German and everybody to fight on their side. And I think a lot of that is youthful vigor that they want to fight something. And evidently, we have not done a good enough job convincing them who to fight here. Oh, yeah, another tip on the cowboy movies. They seem to be back in style some places, and a lot of them are coming out of Australia. But this is a new one here in the United States, a series called The Peacemakers. Tom Berenger's in it. He's pretty good actor, I think. So anyhow, in your spare time, if you get any spare time, you might want to see. We like the Bad Boys. No, the Mad Boys. No, the Wild Boys. And we like this one, The Peacemakers. So that's a tip from Tommy. Run you a few raw clips here. I didn't clean them up, but I think you'll get the message.
The first strong impression was that IS is much stronger than I thought, much cleverer. And there is an enthusiasm that I personally cannot understand, which I have never seen in war zones, an incredible enthusiasm and a sense of victory. They are so sure that they will win this war, that they will win the whole Middle East. Every day, hundreds of new fighters arrive, and these people were not losers, how we may think. Many of them were clever, intelligent people. For example, a guy from an island near the United States, I don't want to say the name of this island, he just passed his law exam, and he refused a great job offer because he wanted to fight for the Islamic State. The second impression, which was very strong for me and also horrible, is that IS is planning the biggest religious cleansing operation that history, that mankind ever witnessed.
And how is it working as a state?
In the area of security, in the area of care for the poor, they're doing a lot.
Handing out food, that kind of thing.
Yeah. That's a strategy which seems, I say seems, to be accepted and seems to work. The population is tolerating them. They accept them because they are Sunnis and they have been discriminated by the Shia government after the war in 2003. You see foreign fighters in Mosul, Swedish people, British people, American people from New Jersey, you know.
How does the population respond to them?
In Mosul, in a positive way, being very polite. A foreign fighter is a friend because he has given up a lot of things to come to this country, to fight for this country, to fight for the Islamic State. I was told that in Syria, this is not the case. In Syria, parts of the population are hostile.
What was the most disturbing thing you saw, felt, or encountered during those 10 days in IS-controlled territory?
That people can be enthusiastic about killing hundreds of millions of people. Listen, I have read the Quran several times, and 113 of the 114 surahs start with "In the name of Allah, the merciful, the most merciful." And I say, where is the mercy? For example, Pol Pot is nothing in comparison with them. And Al-Qaeda is peanuts in comparison with ISIS.
But you can't believe they're going to go on relentlessly expanding.
I don't see anybody who has a real chance to stop them.
That's Jürgen Todenhofer, German journalist, who has been given some access, rare access, to Islamic State.
Speaking. Drama is the family secrets that are
inside source. As a memorial is held for those killed in the Sydney sea.
How an attack may come, but we do know that there are people with the intent and the capability.
North Korea has its internet disrupted.
And there's only one.
I'm going to play that again about ISIS. I think the second recording's a little clearer. I want you to think hard about what's going on here. This thing is growing and growing and growing.
...have killed the leader of a militant group responsible for kidnapping and beheading a French tourist in September. A private Algerian TV station, Ennahar, said that Abdelmalek Ghouri was killed in a clash with special forces. Here's Alan Johnston.
The last images of the French tourist Hervé Gourdel showed him on his knees in front of four masked gunmen. His killers said they murdered him in retaliation for France's military involvement in Iraq and elsewhere. Now it seems the head of the group, Abdelmalek Gouri, has been hunted down. The military is yet to confirm this, but normally reliable sources say he was killed during a clash in the Sidi Daoud area, 80 kilometers east of Algiers, and that two other militants died with him.
The Greek parliament has
been saying hera chatter since the siege in Sydney last week.
At this level, an attack is likely. We don't know when and how an attack may come, but we do know that there are people with the intent and the capability to carry out further attacks. And that's why it's important that as well as being reassured that people are aware of the reality of these times.
Well, let's talk to Brendan Trembath, who's been covering the story in Sydney for ABC News. Brendan, do we have any more details about who the Australian authorities are listening in on?
The Prime Minister has not identified who these people are, but certainly we've had a number of terrorism really over the last few months and last few years in the major cities of Sydney and Melbourne. But in general, the people most of concern are the extremists who favour an Islamist type of philosophy. And they have identified a number of people in Australia who have these views.
One thing I don't quite understand is that much was made of the fact that the man who carried out the Sydney siege was a so-called lone wolf. So is this increase in terror chatter, to use Tony Abbott's phrase, related to last week's events?
Well, the Prime Minister said that the Martin Place siege was the Martin Place brush with terrorism, that the man who carried out the siege did the
group based in the UK, which tries to ascertain how many people are losing their lives in the Syrian conflict. Well, it's put out figures this morning which say that US-led airstrikes in Syria have killed more than 1,000 jihadists in the past 3 months, and that nearly all of those jihadists are from the Islamic State group. To give you more figures here, at least 1,171 have been killed in the Arab and international airstrikes since September the 23rd. The most of them coming from Islamic State. Those not from Islamic State are from the Islamist al-Nusra front. Well, you may have seen an awful lot of activity. Hoffa is the first Western journalist to spend an extended period of time in Islamic State territory. He was there for 11 days and he's been speaking to the BBC's Caroline Hawley.
The first strong impression was that IS is much stronger than I thought, much cleverer. And there is an enthusiasm that I personally cannot understand, which I have never seen in war zones, an incredible enthusiasm and a sense of victory. They are so sure that they will win this war, that they will win the whole Middle East. Every day, hundreds of new fighters arrive, and these people were not losers, how we may think. Many of them were clever, intelligent people. For example, a guy from an island near the United States, I don't want to say the name of this island, he just passed his law exam, and he refused a great job offer because he wanted to fight for the Islamic State.
And how is it working as a state?
It seems to work as a state.
In what way?
In the area of security. In the area of care for the poor. They are doing a lot.
Handing out food, that kind of thing.
Yeah. That's a strategy which seems to be accepted and seems to work.
Was there an atmosphere of fear? What was the mood?
It was more normal than I expected. The population is tolerating them. They accept them because they are Sunnis and they have been discriminated by the Shia government after the war in 2003. You see foreign fighters in Mosul, Swedish people, British people, American people from New Jersey, you know.
What was the most disturbing thing you saw, felt, or encountered? during those 10 days in IS-controlled territory?
That people can be enthusiastic about killing hundreds of millions of people. For example, Pol Pot is nothing in comparison with them. And Al-Qaeda is peanuts in comparison with ISIS.
And were you not terrified yourself, being a Westerner, knowing what's happened to people there?
I had a guarantee by the Caliph, Abu Bakr al-Baghdadi. And I had the impression that they want to show that their Islamic State is working.
It's the German journalist.
They may not like me. They may not like this. One man called it, one gang officer who doesn't like this model, he called it women's policing. And I said, well, guess what? Get your skirt on because you're getting ready to do it.
That's great. I have a question. I hear you talking, and I'm like, how much more does this cost?
If you talk about a gang murder, which has a lot of retaliation shootings that follow it, a gang murder can cost $1 million to $17 million for each murder, depending on how many retaliation shootings follow the original murder. If you look at the number of murders that have been reduced, the number of...
That's a professional, her name is Rice, that has gone into the L.A. Police Department trying to change their methods. And she claims she's doing pretty good at it. But the point was how much it costs. Well, I've got a message in here that was sent to me by Bill. And Bill is sending quite a few messages. FBI warns of Islamic State threat to the Mississippi River Bridge. Well, I was wondering when they'd get around to it. I've been wondering ever since we invaded illegally Iraq and Afghanistan and all that. They keep saying, they're coming. I say, well, shit, if I'd have been in charge, they'd have been here already. to be the devil's advocate. Now, Washington... This is Reuters. The FBI has warned local authorities of a threat that Islamic State militants would blow up the Memphis and Arkansas bridge spanning the Mississippi River, an agency spokesman said on Tuesday. Now, of course, you know these people can get threatening phone calls and emails all day long, you know, that has nothing to do with anything. So it's easy to keep the system all excited, and of course they want to keep you in fear. You know, I just wouldn't go on that bridge myself. The bridge is a major route connecting Tennessee and Arkansas. The Federal Bureau of Investigation passed a threat on to local police in a bulletin out of the abundance of caution, spokesman Chris Allen said, quote, this is an unsubstantiated anonymous threat, he said, and you're going to get hundreds of them, baby. Every kid with a computer or a cell phone, he's going to get on there and rattle your cage. Allen had no details on when the threat was received or how the warning was reported by Fox 13 News in Memphis. So you're going to get 100 of those kind of things, and then when the real one comes about, you probably won't get any notice at all. And that's what's... best for the unconventional warfare people, you call them ISIS or whatever, which is not terrorism, it's unconventional warfare. The television station quoted the FBI warning as saying that according to an anonymous tipster, probably the Jewish Defense League, Islamic State had instructed a person in Memphis to blow up the Memphis-Arkansas bridge on an unknown date, activating ISIS terror cells in the United States. Well, most of you and myself wouldn't know how to blow up a bridge across that river because it's not as easy as you think. These are big, reinforced bridges that takes a hell of a lot of blowing up to get them to fall. And so anybody that thinks they're just going to put a couple little things on that bridge are kidding themselves. And I don't think hardly any but the best demolition people would even attempt to take down that big a bridge. So I think you can relax for a while, but they're everywhere. They're coming to get you. Now, whether you believe it or not, there's a lot of division in the state of Israel that we financed to the tune of, what, $700 billion since 1948? Probably more than that. Probably a lot of it was off the books. But anyhow, the liberals and the conservatives down there are going at each other. Ever since the war, I feel like I'm not here, says my left-wing neighbor, as his dog pees on my fence. Quote, I walk down the street and feel like the soles of my shoes don't even touch the filth that's strewn all around me, as if I'm hovering 20 centimeters above the sidewalk. You know what I mean? I'm like a tourist in a country he doesn't feel part of. It's a terrible thing. That wasn't the first time I've heard someone talk about the moment he became a stranger in his own country. Some Americans mentioned a similar thing to me when George W. Bush was elected for the second term, and others on the opposite side of the political spectrum described having that experience when Barack Obama came into the office. A citizen believes in a peculiar administration, particular administration, and gets a different one is common and normal in all democratic countries. But there are far less frequent, more difficult moments when a voter feels that the elected administration not only doesn't represent his views, but doesn't represent the spirit of his people either. Well, there you go. It's a big, long article, but you got the liberals, and you got the conservatives, you got the racists, you got the non-racists, you got the Orthodox Jews, you got the Reformed Jews, you got the atheist Jews. They're all there in that little country. If they didn't have an Arab threat, they'd still be having big problems. In fact, if the Muslim threat would just retreat back away from Israel and not do anything, I say within 10 years they would have destroyed themselves from civil war. In case you're interested and you're around Las Vegas, you can go to the Holocaust Survivor Klezmer and Multicultural Band in Las Vegas. Yeah! Performs by B-Way star Doo-Doo Fisher for casino billionaire Sheldon Adelson. That's the big Republican. IDF legend E. Leibowitz, former camp inmates. They're all going up there and have a big time in Las Vegas, so don't miss it. You know, the U.S. War Department, military-industrial complex has been sticking the stick through the bars of the zoo into the tiger's face for quite a while. It took them a financing and giving them equipment over there for unconventional warfare, and now the tiger is about to come out of the cage, and they don't know what to do. They're playing Russian roulette, and boy, it's going to be fun. German authorities fear there could be as many as 7,000 Muslim unconventional warfare fighters in the country by the end of the year. Well, I'll give you a clue. It's a lot more than that that are there now that will be converted to extremists. And are they extreme? We've been attacking them all these years and bombing the shit out of them, killing them by the thousands and hundreds of thousands. I don't think I would call them extremists if they want to come back and kick our ass. Okay, disenfranchised youths are particularly vulnerable to being recruited. While there are around 450 German extremists, whatever that is, in Syria and Iraq. Define extremist. The extremists all follow the strict interpretation of Islam, known as the Salafism, and believe that jihad is a legitimate tool in their fight against the West, in other words, allegedly white people, which they believe is an enemy of Islam. Well, it is. when you spend billions of dollars, maybe trillions over there killing them, I think they got the message. Hans-Georg Maaßen, who is the head of Germany's BIV, Domestic Intelligence Agency, told the RBB Infirati that there are currently around 6,300 Islamic extremists, otherwise known as unconventional warfare agents in Germany, but this figure could rise to as many as 7,000 by the end of the year. Well, run for your lives. Run for your lives, Germany. Germany, you had it coming. You had it coming, just like England, France, United States, and, us. We had it coming. I didn't have it coming. My friends didn't have it coming, but all those idiots out there that want to bring them in here by the thousands and then expect nothing to come of it? Oh, boy. Well, at least now you won't have to send thousands of American troops over the Middle East. They'll be right here. You know, transportation costs are going to go way down. Well, members of the Elks Lodge in Glendale, California... I know there's a lot of racists in Glendale because Colonel Gale, the identity minister, used to have his meetings there in the Masonic Lodge for 20, 30 years. Well, anyhow, they're outraged because they got found out after a former police officer hosted a charity event that compared slain teen Michael Brown to roadkill dog. In a video obtained by blank blank, a singer can be heard parodying Bad, Bad Leroy Brown with racist lyrics mocking Brown. Quote, Michael Brown learned a lesson when he about messing with badass policemen. Lodge member Gary Fischel sings, and he's bad, bad Michael Brown, baddest thug in the whole damn town, badder than old King Kong. Meaner than a junkyard dog. You know, I sing that all the time. Not with those words. I didn't know. I just got him. The song continues, and he's dead, dead, Michael Brown, deadest man in the whole damn town. His whole life's long gone, deader than a roadkill dog. According to blank blank, this event was hosted by retired LAPD officer Joe Myers, and about half of the 50 to 60 attendants were cops. The gathering was part of an annual charity golf tournament. Fischel, who was a former federal investigator, later realized that the song was off color and poor taste, his lawyer told blank blank. He's a goofball who writes funny songs, the lawyer remarks, adding that Fischel thought that the room full of police officers would get a kick out of it. For his part, Myers refused to show his remorse for the song. Quote, how can I dictate what he, Fisher, says is a song? Says in a song, Myers said. This is America. We can say what we want. This is a free America. Hey, copper, you're going to find out how free it is. A trustee of the Glendale Radical Right Republican Elks Lodge said that many members were upset over the song. Oh, it upset me. It upset me. But they listened to it. It's deplorable and inappropriate, and the lodge will take discriminatory action against Fischel and possibly the people who organized this event, unquote. The trustee warned, we don't stand for anything, any racist things like this. Well, I've been in Elks Lodges before, and I heard plenty of racism. Well, let's see here whether they've got it here where we can listen to it. Hold it. Hold it.
Jesus, I just had a little on the floor, and his name.
that's sort of funny. Maybe I'll sing that downtown at the lodge. Yeah, man. That would really get them. You know, if it wasn't for it being exposed, I think most of the members in the local lodges would be tickled to death to hear that song. Well, now let's go and see how the Right Reverend Al Sharpton's doing today, okay?
How'd your meeting with Amy go today?
That's Al Sharpton after his meeting with Sony boss Amy Pascal to discuss the kind of racist emails she exchanged with producer Scott Rudin. And how did the meeting go? Well, it all comes down to one thing.
Pudding!
Which we'll get to in a minute. Meantime, how did it go, Al?
Did she seem apologetic?
She's very apologetic.
What's the next move?
Next move is we meet next week in Hollywood.
So now North Korea and Al Sharpton have Sony and Amy Pascal at bay. How does she continue with this? I'm serious.
How many meetings does she take?
How many meetings does she take?
Well, at least two, because we found out Amy's also meeting with Olivia Pope's inspiration, Judy Smith.
She is counseling Amy Pascal and Sony on how to deal with this. And what she's doing is she's telling them, make it bigger than just a Sony issue. Make it an industry issue. Take the heat off of Sony.
In other words,
it's handled.
Or at least it will be. Right, Al Sharpton?
We'll see. The proof will be in the pudding.
And you don't know until you eat the pudding. Can you explain what that means, Charles? I mean, what does it mean to eat the pudding? I don't know, but I'm getting hungry.
Someone get that man some pudding! Yeah, not him. Point is,
he wants to see some actual concrete changes from her, and you don't know if she's really gonna make those changes until you see the changes. You don't know until you eat the pudding.
Wait. Was there actually pudding?
No.
Well, let's tune in and see about the ever-popular Obomsky and see what's going on at the White House.
So something happened at the White House Hanukkah party that caused a huge controversy. And that would be this Cuban cigar. And what does he do? He takes it, he sniffs it.
Do you know the most awesome thing in his entire presidency would have been if on the day he does this with Cuba and gets that cigar and sniffs the cigar that everybody talks about as being this incredible thing, he says, sometimes a cigar is just a cigar.
What?
That was a lot of build up for that.
Do you know what that is?
No.
All right, hold on, old timey story.
What? It's Freud. What are you talking about?
Boy, oh boy, this one's hard to believe. In a blistering editorial published in the Monday edition of the New York Times, the editorial page editors are calling upon the Just Us Department to open an investigation into the torture practices committed during the administration of President George W. Bush, with an eye towards prosecuting those who committed torture and other serious crimes, unquote, along with former Vice President Dick Cheney and other major administration officials. Under a headline reading, Prosecute Torturers and Their Bosses, the board criticized the administration of current President Barack Obama for failing to bring to justice anyone responsible for torture of terrorism suspects, unquote, during the period following the attack on 9/11. The editorial notes that the American Civil Liberties Union will present a letter to the Attorney General Eric Holder, Jr., on Monday, calling for appointment of a special prosecutor to investigate what appears to be a vast criminal conspiracy under color of law to commit torture and other crimes. Well, I would say if you're serious about it and you're going after them, that's good. But if you're not, forget it. Save the money. You may not believe this one, but they're claiming it works if you got arthritis. if it backfires, at least you'll have fun.
You're in the kitchen with the People's Pharmacy. One of the most common conditions that humans suffer from is arthritis. It affects our fingers, it affects our knees, it affects our hips, and when it hits, it can really interfere with the quality of our life. Now, there are lots of medications that can work, but they do come with some serious side effects.
Some of those serious side effects can include heart attacks and strokes.
One of the most unusual home remedies that we've ever heard of from the kitchen is golden raisins soaked in gin. I have no idea where this came from. It's been around for decades, maybe even generations.
We heard about it more than 15 years ago.
So what you do is you put a bunch of raisins in a bowl, kind of a shallow bowl, and you add just enough gin.
Just enough to barely cover the raisins. If you put in too much more, it slows everything down.
Now, it's going to take a while for that gin to evaporate. It's probably about, what, a week to 10 days?
A week to 10 days will usually work. You want to select a brand of gin that actually is flavored with juniper berries.
And nobody really knows how it works. We think it might be the juniper, because juniper has been used for arthritis remedies for a very long time. It might be the sulfites in the golden raisins, or some combination of the two.
Or it may be some compound in grapes that actually has anti-inflammatory properties. While it's evaporating, you want to cover it. Now, you might be tempted to use plastic wrap, but you should not do that because it won't evaporate.
Right. What should you use?
Use a paper towel.
Okay.
That allows the gin to evaporate, and it keeps the raisins nice and clean.
Now, of course, the raisins will never actually dry out. They'll always be kind of plump and moist. Mmm, and delicious. You're supposed to eat 9 a day, not 12, not 4, 9. You can put them on your oatmeal. Very, really tasty. Yum. How long will it take to go to work?
Well, you may need to be patient, because it can take as long as 6 weeks or sometimes 2 months to actually be able to notice the effects.
And what's the best way to store the raisins?
I think they are best stored in a closed container. You can use a jar. You can keep it in the refrigerator or on the counter.
Mm.
No more raisins.
No more raisins, but they do taste really good. Now, can you get drunk on 9 raisins?
Not if you stick to the 9. We had them analyzed, and it only contains 1 drop of alcohol in all 9 raisins.
So they're not likely to interact with your medications either. Well, next time the arthritis starts to hit, act up, you know, affect the quality of your life, maybe it's time to give the raisin remedy a shot.
Well, Sean Hannity's getting his uppins. How about that? I can't stand that son of a bitch. I'd like to be in a room with him, maybe with boxing gloves on or something. But they took a poll among his compadres that he works around, and they say, and in the industry, and they say he's the worst reporter to Fox's gotcha journalism. Jesse Waters and MSNBC's Luke Russert, a frequent target of both liberals and conservatives. Well, anyhow, couldn't happen to a better guy, Sean, baby. I hopes they fires you. Well, I don't know whether you ought to believe this or not. Some states with the most racially charged attitudes towards Negroes are also the states where the most whites have black ancestors, according to a recent released study. Researchers examined 145,000 DNA samples, there you go with the DNA samples, provided to genetic testing company, 23andMe, this is the company. I wonder who owns the company. Couldn't be Abraham, could it? For ancestry analysis. It's probably the same ones that did the analysis on Craig Cobb, to determine that at least 6 million Americans who called themselves white had 1% or more of African ancestry. 1% is nothing. So what if they did? Or even more. That doesn't make you black. The study, this is all just to play games with people's minds. The study published this month in the American Journal of Human Genetics found that whites in the South were far more likely to have at least 1% black ancestry than any other part of the country. Well, that's maybe the curse of the plantation shit and bringing these savages over here. European Americans with Negro ancestry comprise as much as 12% of European Americans from Louisiana and South Carolina, and about 1 in 10 individuals in other parts of the South. Well, that goes along with what I read the other day or heard on the radio late at night, that down in New Orleans, they mixed like hell even before the Civil War. In fact, the man was talking about when the Northerners, after the war, came down south, they're the ones that installed more segregative laws than what was there before. So there was a predilection, at least in some parts of the South, to race mix before and after the war. And Northerners were surprised when a lot of them moved down south to New Orleans and other cities. The study also noted that individuals with less than 28% African ancestry tend to identify as white, while individuals with more than 50% African ancestry almost always identified as Negroes. And black Americans living in the South also had more African ancestry than any other region of the country. African Americans in West Virginia and Oregon had the lowest percentage of African ancestry. You see, a lot of the states up in the North and the Northwest wouldn't even allow Negroes in the state. I know we had laws here in Indiana that wouldn't allow them in the state, and then they had to, if they did, they had to be brought in by somebody else and they had to be licensed, you know, and everything else. And Oregon didn't let blacks inside the state for way late, and long after the Civil War. Yeah, so that's the way it goes. I wouldn't trust these DNA companies any farther than I could throw the bastards. Yelling about some whites having 1% black blood. So what? Jesus Christ. Some people get excited about that. That's why I believe a lot of blacks are getting out of prison based on DNA, in which I think that there's a lot of faulty DNA tests going on. Well, here's some good information. What's emerging now in New York City is that within the thin blue line of the New York PD, there's another divide between black and white officers. Reuters interviewed 25 Negro American male officers on the NYPD, 15 of whom are retired and 10 of whom are still serving. All but one said that when off duty and out of uniform, they had been victims of racial profiling. God bless racial profiling, which refers to the use of race or ethnicity as grounds for suspecting someone of having committed a crime. Well, given the percentage of criminal acts by Negroes, what do you expect? The officer said that this included being pulled over for no reason, having their heads slammed against their cars, getting guns brandishing in their faces, being thrown into prison vans, and experiencing stop and frisk while shopping. The majority of the officers said that they'd been pulled over multiple times while driving. Five had guns pulled on them. Desmond Blaze, who retired 2 years ago as a sergeant in the 41st Precinct in the Bronx, said he once got stopped while taking a jog through Brooklyn's upmarket Prospect Park. Quote, I had my ID on me, so it didn't escalate, said Blaze, who has sued the department allegedly that he was racially harassed on the job. Quote, but what's suspicious about a jogger in jogging clothes? Well, if you'll remember, there were some women in New York in the park, one woman who got raped by, what, 8 or 9 guys. They said that they had them in jail for quite a while, and then they let them go, probably due to Al Sharpton pressure, man. So anyhow, that's an interesting thing that now black and white cops are looking over their shoulders while on duty with other cops. Oh, I knew it would come to that. Now, this may be one way to get the right wing to quit screwing around in the streets and plan for action. Berlin, Germany. Activists have worked hard for years to mobilize against neo-Nazi groups, sometimes by literally drowning them out at demonstrations in honor of Rudolf Hess and other long-dead Nazi figures, or against refugee centers housing unprecedented numbers of migrants this year. Well, I agree with you. Forget the streets. Forget the flags. Forget the demonstrations. It's war, man. A racial holy war. but they operate in analog. Now, with demonstrations against asylum seekers and Islam gaining mainstream traction across Germany, a new Android app is making the fight against right-wing extremism easier. Gegen Nazi, against Nazis, uses digital mapping to publicize information about right-wing extremist demonstrations and counter-protests. Lone wolves laugh at this shit. The free app informs people where and when such events are taking place in their neighborhoods. Well, I hope they do that over here, too. It also lets you know where there are planned protests against these demonstrations so users can show their faces in solidarity with refugees against racism and against anti-Semitism, says Jessica Zeller, project manager at Berlin Against the Nazis. Do you know how much good that does? To a hardcore person, it has no effect whatsoever. In fact, really hardcore people are not walking around in uniforms or waving flags. They're preparing. Oh, it's funny. A collaboration between Berlin, actually it helps us to convince these people, number one, if they're too cowardly to take the heat, get out of the kitchen. Number two, drive them underground so they can be more effective lone wolves. A collaboration between Berlin's city government and the Association for Democratic Culture in Berlin. The app works by aggregating data from Berlin Against the Nazis' Twitter, Facebook, and website to plot the routes of far-right demos and counter-protests. Right-wing protests are shown in brown, the color most associated with Nazism, thanks to Adolf Hitler's brown shirts. You know how he got to, you know how those brown shirts occurred? Hitler got a deal on a whole train load, a boxcar load of army surplus shirts from the First World War, which were brown. And otherwise, if they got the wrong train, they probably would have been the pink shirts. Anyhow, on city maps, while routes for protests against the Nazis are in orange, push notifications on users' phones alert them to a new development in real time. Boy, this is real war, you know, while ISIS and these guys are running around wiping people out by the hundreds. Oh, among the app's main targets are far-right National Democratic Party. Well, they'll run like hell. Germany's largest neo-Nazi organization has five lawmakers in the parliament. Oh, I wouldn't trust them as far as I could throw them. Of the eastern state of Mecklenburg or Vorpommern. But Gegen Nazis also take aim at other groups. We're not calling everyone Nazis, Seller says. What counts is that people say in their demonstrations what they stand for, not direct affiliations with NPD. Another group on the Gegen Nazi radar is the Patriotic Europeans Against the Islamization of the West, popularly known as Pegida, whose demonstrations in the East German city of Dresden have been gaining support in recent weeks. Support for what? What are they going to do? Just get another magazine or something, or buy a CD, or what the hell? Are they driving the goddamn Muslims out of Europe? That's all I'm interested in. Police say a record 17,500 people attended its latest anti-Islamization rally on Tuesday. Although right-wingers are believed to make up Pegida's core, its protests increasingly include ordinary Germans with no strong political affiliations who are alarmed by what they see as a huge influx of refugees from the Middle East and by the Islamization of the West. Yeah. That's right. They're mad. They whine. They cry. They stomp their feet. Tell racist jokes. But when they gonna drive them out? Germany has seen, and I'm not just talking about them. I'm talking about us too. Germany has seen a record high number of immigrants this year, with 200,000 refugees expected to apply for asylum, a jump of 154% from last year. Jesus. At the same time, fear is growing over the thousands of Europeans who have joined the Islamic ISIS and other groups fighting in Syria and Iraq. Their foreign fighters include an estimated 550 Germans with turbans on their heads. let's see, what is it? Germany has banned involvement with such organizations, including via social media and demonstrations, as well as fundraising and recruiting fighters. Well, they're already out down there fighting. They're already down there shooting, you know. I love chaos, boys and girls. I loves the chaos. We got to have more chaos. 15 German, I know. Wolf Wall Street didn't believe that, but I do. The time for organization is later, but we have to flip the pot, turn it upside down. Chaos. Let the cops and the niggers fight each other. Yeah. 15 Germans have recently been arrested for supporting jihadi groups like ISIS. Well, don't let them out of the country. If they try to come back in the country, don't let them back in. Say, put on your turban and go down there with your non-white Islamic brothers. In a test case, a Frankfurt court found a 20-year-old jihadi who had spent months fighting for ISIS in Syria guilty of membership in a terrorist organization. No, an unconventional warfare organization. And of plotting a serious subversive act earlier this month. Well, yeah, how many people did they kill in the country where they were in? You know, how about that? In Syria, they probably killed a whole bunch of decent people. Violence first erupted in late October at demonstrations pitting right-wingers against fundamentalist Muslims known as the Salafists in Cologne. Well, I don't, you know, whatever they want to do to those people is fine with me, because they're invaders just as much as if they'd invent an army, just because the goddamn government says, oh, it's okay, fuck you, government. Which attracted 5,000 demonstrators, including political extremists and soccer hooligans. No, they haven't attracted the lone wolves. The lone wolves could, if they wanted to, they could spread that group out in no time. They could drive into it like a V formation or a diamond formation and do your thing. More fighting has broken out between police and anti-Islamic protesters since then. The tense situation prompted Angela Merkel to criticize the anti-Muslim rhetoric at protest. That bitch, which has been, she's a regular Rosa Luxemburg, what she is, which have been seen hundreds, sometimes thousands, turn up to oppose such rallies, despite the upswing in anti-WOG feeling. However, the majority of Germans aren't prejudiced, experts say. That's the capitalists whistling past the graveyard. The capitalists are whistling past the graveyard. Please don't get excited. Burn down our stores. Don't burn down our factories. Oh, anything but that. Well, make a deal with us. There is as much, if not more, solidarity for refugees than there is for anti-solidarity, Zeller said. Well, let your country go to hell. If that's what you want, let it go to fucking hell. There are many who believe that we have to welcome these people who have escaped from hunger, war, crisis, and paying their bills. The right for asylum is written into the German Constitution. Oh, yeah, there must have been a Jew in the woodpile there. Gegen Nazis has been downloaded more than 1,000 times since its release last month for Android and Apple's iOS last week. No wonder those ATF guys wanted to get me off the street. The game is heating up. Chaos is coming. I love chaos. Users can interfere with the app in German, English, and Turkish. Turkish. The language of Germany's largest minority population that they brought in for the capitalists to build the cars and everything, and because they said they didn't have enough people, enough Germans. Well, they could have mechanized, they could have robotized, they could have done all that. The capitalists don't want that. They wanted the cheap Turks. Although the program services only Berlin, other apps to be launched by the end of the year. Great! No Nazi net will operate on a national level. Great! More chaos! I love it when your enemies do what you want them to do. Okay. Developed by the Amadou Antonio Foundation, a Berlin-based organization fighting discrimination. Yeah, the capitalists need the cheap labor. We don't like Nazis because they're not for cheap labor. The apps combines research and monitoring of right-wing activities with an interactive map of Germany pointing the centers that help hate crime victims. Oh, all the white people, the niggers and the Turks and all of them jump, and all the Muslims are knifing in the street. That would be good. Oh, you don't mean that. Just so-called victims of the white people that belong there. Mobile technology gives activist organizations a new opportunity by enabling them to synthesize social media campaigns. Fuck your social media campaigns. It'll end in violence, and that's when you'll find out who ends on top. Like, governments always use violence. It'll be violence, man. It'll be violence. That's the only solution in the end. I'm not necessarily saying do it now. I think, of course, you'd have every cop, every fed, every no-good, two-faced white person in the country on your ass. Wait, bide your time, boys. It's coming. Don't get excited. It's difficult for an NGO working against racism and anti-Semitism to make a good app, he says. It's a matter of budget. We didn't have tens of thousands of euros to ask a programmer to build something incredible. Well, ask your fucking corporation masters that, whether you realize it or not, you're working for. Nevertheless, Baldorf praised the successes of some apps, such as the anti-hate speech developed by the French group, the International League Against Racism and Anti-Semitism. I can't read anymore. Oh, that's a bullshit. This is all bullshit. We all know what's coming. We all know what's here. So all that marching and all that screaming and all that whining will not change one damn thing. That's why I'm telling the advising always have everybody get out of the streets. Right-wingers, get out of the goddamn streets and prepare for what has to be done. Do not go out there where they can identify you and put you on a list or in the computer and so forth. And don't put on a uniform and don't get racial tattoos. Come on. We're looking towards a real Holocaust. And not just against the Jews, that's for sure. There's more white Christians, I think, need to get it than even the Jews. Oh, what did I say? Oh, that's horrible. Metzger, you're always doing something like that. This is all to keep the idiots, you know, keep them quiet. You know, let them scream, let them yell, let them throw things at the right wing until they get their head screwed on right and quit the Hitler worship and all the bullshit with the conservatives over there who are closet Nazis who will never do anything, keep trying to get people in the office and all that. It's a waste of time. Promote chaos. Well, I see they're going after Glenn Miller for the death penalty. I'm telling you. Oh. He yelled and screamed about doing something, and then he goes out and does actually the wrong thing, gets the wrong people and everything else when he was in a drunken stupor. Sorry, boys, I have no sympathy for Glenn Miller at all. I remember way back when he had, I don't know, 200 or 300 white guys with Confederate flags marching down the street, absolutely sure they were going to take over the government at any minute. In fact, I put the picture on my front page of my paper, and I supported it a little bit, because I don't believe that kind of stuff gets you anywhere. I think it's a waste of time and actually dangerous. Groups like VNN that Miller belonged to, and some of these other outfits that say how they don't believe in violence, and they don't believe in violence, and then their members go out and commit crazy violence. They don't commit intelligent, professional violence. They commit stupid, idiotic violence. Well, that's it for now. I'll be back tomorrow on Wotan's Day, and we'll see if we can go back in the far reaches of the dark dungeon here and find another Sling Blade show for tomorrow. And in the meantime, think white, act white, be white, and prepare. Prepare. For what? Oh, I'll give you two guesses. First one's free. Oh, and to all the feds out there and the ATF and all those people, kiss my white ass.